All Packers, all the time.
You know, I am a play the high side of caution, as Mike McCarthy used to say, guy, but the guy's got to play. He needs the work in game. So it's an interesting dilemma that they're going to face come this summer.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chew, brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you. And by the Bridgewater Modern Grill, nestled in the heart of Milwaukee's emerging harbor district. Enjoy a specialty crafted menu centered around a custom oak-fed grill.
Hanging out with our friend and pal Jason Wilde while we enjoy some McFlurry hash brown sandwiches. Has anybody taken a bite yet?
I did.
It's melting.
It's really good. The problem is, yeah, it's just melting so fast. Like,
because the hash browns are hot and the McFlurry is cold, and so it's just becoming
it's a terrible idea.
Is it good, though? Is it taste good?
It's fine.
Really?
Oh, that is not a ringing endorsement.
The McFlurry hash brown sandwich is just, quote, fine from Gabe.
I think I'd rather have a hash brown or a McFlurry. I don't think the combination here is just not great.
Would you good morning, everyone.
Hello. Good morning, Jason.
Would you try this, Jason? Would you try the hash brown McFlurry sandwich?
I guess that depends on, is this a Jen, Gabe, and Chewy creation, or our fine partners at McDonald's are trying this out?
No, we saw, I can't remember, it started making its rounds on social media late last week of somebody who does this. And again, the ice cream melts just way too fast. Like, you got to dig in, and there's no way. I mean, how many people actually eat McDonald's either A, inside the restaurant, or B, inside their home? Well, I would say 80% of McDonald's consumption happens in the car.
Yes.
You could not eat this in the car.
When can you even buy these two things together? Can you get the McFlurry in the morning? I know you can't get the hash
brown. Well, they have breakfast full time now.
They do?
No, I think they went away from that.
Oh, they went away from it?
Yeah, they weren't making enough money.
Oh, okay.
So I think that sounds completely disgusting. I'm not interested,
thanks. Well, Gabe is not giving it a ringing endorsement either.
I mean, the salty sweet works, but it's just the ice cream melted so fast, the majority of the ice cream is on the paper towel that I have in front of me.
And then you got mush? Yeah.
So now it's just a soggy hash brown.
That's a good point.
And you're not getting the crispness that you want out of the hash brown.
But it's soggy with ice cream.
Yeah, but I'd still rather just have the crisp hash brown. The great thing about the hash brown is how hot and crispy it is.
I have a better idea for McDonald's. I can fix this all. Take a crispy hash brown, fresh out of the oven, chop it up, put it in a vanilla McFlurry, sweet and salty inside of it. Then you don't have to worry about melting.
You're still.
You're getting the taste though.
You're getting the flavors, but again, you're not getting the texture.
Jason, would you rather have a sandwich with a hash brown or a McFlurry with hash brown chopped into it?
Is this going to be added to the menu of Rot's Hot?
We're thinking about it now.
Then I might be interested. Otherwise, I'm a hard pass. Like David Bakhtiari. I'm not all that interested in anything that's going on here.
I agree. I agree with Gabe, Jason. This is not practical.
No.
It's fine, but it's just not a practical usage of the two ingredients.
Is it try-hard?
It's a try-hard. Yes.
Okay.
Jason, are you a fast food guy, Jason, as much as you travel? Because you're coming down to Milwaukee all the time. And it's got to be the easy thing to do is stop off, grab some food. But at the same time, both your kids are athletes, and I don't think you want to be giving them McFlurry hash brown sandwiches.
Yeah, more fast casual than fast food like drive through. Although Sydney does like a good chicken tenders from Culver's. I'd love to get them as a partner because that is Sydney's like go-to after soccer game, after softball game, after basketball game kind of lunch or dinner. So we don't do it much, not a lot at McDonald's. We did do a fun thing because I do enjoy their breakfast a lot.
Oh, sure.
And during the summertime, the girls have morning practices for different sports. And so we would do Fast Food Friday, which was definitely not Free Food Friday, Fast Food Friday. And we would get like McDonald's hotcakes and whatever. And if you use the app, which Homer obviously advocates for, even though McDonald's does nothing for him other than call him Giannis when he goes to the drive-thru, we racked up a bunch of like rewards points in the app, and then we don't eat there very much, so they just all expired. They all went to waste. So I wish I would have known that I could make a hash brown McFlurry, because then I could use my points on those items.
Jason was Romeo.
Oh, thank God, Chewy.
He's been chomping at the bit. He's been chomping
transition. Was Romeo Doubs' statement about Love and Rodgers disrespectful?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think it came from a disrespectful place. I just look. I really like Romeo, and I know that sounds like a caveat because I'm about to bash him, and I don't intend to. But I don't know if he's super like self-aware on how some things might sound. He was certainly aware of how it was going to sound when he claimed that Rodgers barely spoke to him. Now, I would love, and I know Aaron Rodgers went on the record with Matt Schneidman a couple weeks ago, but I would love to have Rodgers on the record response to Romeo Doubs. I may have an off-the-record response, but I'd like to get him on the record on it, because I would question what the assessment is of barely speaking to me. And whether or not, and this would be my point to Rodgers on this. If Romeo Doubs feels like you didn't speak to him enough, then even if you think he is wrong in that assessment, he's right. Because you needed to do more, clearly. And I've always said this, right? And Chewy, you know this from your many years of playing. You know, you treat everyone fairly. You don't treat them the same if you're a coach or if you're a team leader. And in Romeo Doubs' case, clearly, based on that comment, he needed more attention from the quarterback. Whether that is something that Rodgers felt he needed or not doesn't really matter. Because if you want to get the best out of him and you're the quarterback and you're the team leader, then you have to recognize that this guy needs more. Other guys, I've always said this, like, some guys need a kick in the ass or get their ass chewed. Others need you to put your arm around them and say, hey, you can do better. I know you can do this. Like, I feel like that is what makes a great leader. And regardless of the last several years where I think Rodgers' reputation has taken a hit, whereas before we kind of chalked up some of this stuff to, well, it's always the same two guys. It's always JaMychal Finley and Greg Jennings that are criticizing him. I do believe, based on all the other people that have spoken about his leadership style, that for most players, he was a very effective leader for a very long time. But I think it is completely fair to wonder just how invested or how focused he was on understanding what these younger guys needed last year and whether or not that was a part of it. Because, again, the one thing that I have crushed him for more than anything else is his off-season approach after he got that big contract. And I still believe he was wrong, because I remember talking to those guys in the locker room and how mystified they were by him when he showed up for the two practices of the mandatory minicamp. And that's another instance where I'm sure you could have gotten off on a different foot with Romeo Doubs had you been there for at least some of the off-season. And it's so hypocritical for him to stand on, what was it, a hill of austerity? Is that the phrase he used?
Sure was.
It's so hypocritical to stand on a hill of austerity that it was okay that he took the approach he did last offseason. And now this year, he's at Taylor Swift concerts. He's at Wicked. He's at hockey playoff games. He's at NBA playoff games. He's talking about how important it is to be there. Well, it was important last year, too. And I don't know if he's one of those people. I have a few of these people in my life that they don't ever apologize or admit that they're wrong, but they behave in a different way, and it's kind of this tacit acknowledgement of, yeah, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. But they'll never actually bring themselves to say it. Paula. And so...
Favre.
There's another good one.
Are you guys okay? You guys okay over there?
Yeah, like, because you know that about the person, right?
Right. And so my point is simply that, look, if Romeo Doubs is a little bit more sensitive, and Lord knows I'm one of those people. And he felt like Rodgers did not invest enough or talk to him enough, then that is still on Rodgers to have recognized that and to have done a better job, even if we think Romeo is maybe being a little touchy-feely.
We're halfway through off-season stuff, Jason. Two OTAs in, have OTAs this week, and then the mandatory minicamp the following week. Has Romeo looked like he is going to be the number one guy, or has it been Christian Watson?
No, again, I hate the setup so much because I don't mind going to practice. I like going to practice. We've been to two practices.
Yep.
They've had six. There are three more this week, or I think there was one yesterday.
One yesterday.
One today, and then there's one Thursday. So there's been seven. Today will be the third one I've seen. And what I hate about it is, Christian Watson could have had an awesome day that I wasn't there. And so instead, I have two practices to go off of. And last week's practice, when they ran the two-minute drill and Love completed like seven passes and four or five of them were to Dobbs, I would say that Dobbs looks like the number one receiver, right? I did write a story, and I do believe that this is the case, that there is a chemistry there between those two. And I made a wise crack about how, you know, it's Aaron Rodgers, Jordy Nelson 2.0, or Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams 2.0. It's not that, but it's the beginnings. It's a little seedling of that possibility. And so, you know, again, when we get into real games with real blitzes and the quarterback is live, is he going to be able to do the same things with Romeo Dobbs? We'll find out. But during that practice, there was clearly a connection. And now we'll see if they can take that during the mandatory minicamp, during today's OTA, during training camp, during the preseason, and then leading into September 10th in Chicago and make that a reality.
Jason, I'm so glad that Gabe brought that up because I did read the article on the Wisconsin State Journal, and you did.
So you're the one.
You made a joke saying, it is against this five-paragraph caveat-filled backdrop this next sentence is delivered, and then you made your comment about Jordan Love to Romeo Dobbs could be the Packers' next great quarterback-receiver combination. Beyond the chemistry, what has Dobbs shown skill-wise that makes you think that he could? And again, it's all, you know, the caveat is what it is. You haven't seen a lot, but you've seen flashes and you've seen a lot of football. So what is it about Dobbs that you think he could step into that sort of spot?
So Matt LaFleur drew a comp to Devontae Adams at the NFL meetings in Arizona in March. I am not going to do that here, but I will say this. I love the way he catches the ball. And I say this as someone who, one of my favorite guys I covered during the Chewy era, was Antonio Freeman, who frankly was a body catcher, right? He let the ball get into him, and hey, it worked for him. He was one of the best receivers in football. But I love the way Romeo Dobbs snatches the ball out of the air, and he has really strong hands, and he's really consistent. Now, if you compare that with Christian Watson, and Domofsky tells this story all the time, he talked to a couple of scouts around the league before the draft, and then the Packers picked Watson, and he said that a couple of those scouts told him, we would have really liked Watson if he could catch the football, because he had some inconsistency with his hands in college at North Dakota State. Now, if he rectifies that, and I think he improved a ton, right? I mean, his first NFL play, he dropped a pass, and by the end of the season, I thought he was a much more consistent catcher. But I think Romeo Dobbs is much better at the pure skill of catching the football. And that is something that Devontae Adams developed into. He had that one year in 2015 where he dropped some balls, but he got to be a much better hands catcher too. If Dobbs can do that, then I think he will be the better of the two. I think they've got a chance to be a really good tandem, like Brooks and Free when they were at their healthiest. But again, that is such a projection by me. And then it doesn't take into consideration the fact that playing with a first year starting quarterback, I really want to see how Dobbs develops, because I do think he has a lot of the skill set that he needs to be a very productive receiver.
It's just, Jason, from a body type and a route running ability, Dobbs feels like a Z and Watson feels like an X.
Yeah. And look, there's a chance. Look, and Tausch gets on me all the time because he thinks I'm being a big meanie to MVS. But I never felt like MVS developed a greater skill set than just being the guy that takes the top off the defense. And if Watson can, then I would say that he's going to be a really good player for them too. But as I think Gabe pointed out on this show a couple weeks ago when we were talking about him, like his numbers and the way he collected his receptions, Christian Watson was MVS-ish. Mm-hmm. And he's got to develop into more than that if he's going to be the number one or number two receiver, because that's not what MVS ever really was. Like, remember, there was the one year where he got passed by Lazard late in the year. And, like, I think MVS played, like, one snap in the NFC Championship game that they lost in San Francisco. Like, they can't have Christian Watson be MVS 2.0. They need him to be something much, much greater.
Jason, last thing I have for you. Our friend Ben Brust on the afternoon show yesterday, Scalzo and Brust, is so confident that the Packers are not going to win the division that he is committed to eating dog food. His dog's food, if in fact the Packers somehow figure out a way. Thank you. No, was exactly my reaction. Because I said to him, look, on paper, I don't think that the Packers right now are the team that is going to win the division. But so many fluky things can happen over an 18-week season. You know, Justin Fields goes out with an ACL, or Kirk Cousins breaks his collarbone, or, you know, and all of a sudden, that division's looking very different than it looks right now in the first week of June. Listen, I don't think he's going to be eating dog food, but, I mean, would you have made that bet?
No, but I don't think they're winning the division. Like, I think they have a crummy division. I think they're in a crummy conference. I think David Bakhtiari's point that they could be rebuilding simultaneously as finding a way to win 9 games like the Seahawks did last year after trading their quarterback and still somehow make the playoffs. I think those are all possibilities. I don't think they're likelihoods, but Keyshawn Johnson said on their show yesterday morning before you guys came on that, that he thinks they're going to win the division. I think that was the genesis for this conversation. I don't believe that, but you're right. There are enough fluky things that could happen where it does happen because they're not in the AFC West. Like, all these teams are flawed. The Vikings went 11-0 in one score games. They are not going to do that this year. That is going to regress to the mean. Just football 101 tells you that. All that said, humans are not supposed to eat dog food. So it's actually dangerous. So don't do that, Ben.
I mean, I don't know if it's like dangerous. Like, we had a guest on. Like, I don't think humans are supposed to eat 80 hot dogs either. Yet we had a guest here a couple of weeks ago who, you know, has famously been able to do that year after year after year.
Show of hands, do you kind of want Ben to eat dog food, yes or no?
Well, of course.
I want Chewy to eat dog food because he doesn't think it's a big deal.
It looks like Kix, or it looks like the Puffs. You put milk in it?
Fresh Pets. Like the stuff that they have in the refrigerator at the grocery store, then maybe
gross.
It'll be safer. But there was a year. Remember when our teammate Aaron Goldhammer in Cleveland?
He ate poop.
Like he was gonna eat dog poop.
No, it was horse poop, and he did do it. And he ate it. He doo-dooed it.
Yeah, but that's the worst. That's the least worst of all the poops.
Horse poop.
Yeah. What the hell is happening?
What kind of sentence is that?
Yeah, I'm just saying it is.
What
it's
about,
dry.
Like,
it's got.
Poop?
It's still. It doesn't digest well, so there's still kind of have a hay content to it. It's not like eating
not to be
dog.
Confused with that time that Jen had to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Chewy, do you want to eat poop?
No, I don't. I'm just telling you. I could power rank poop if you want me to.
From an edible standpoint? Go ahead, Jason.
Or a hash brown McFlurry.
Oh, hash brown McFlurry all day.
Based upon Gabe's reaction, I don't know. It's probably a toss-up.
It was not that bad, okay?
I just said it was fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's still edible.
He didn't say it was shit.
Cool. Super awesome. Love that. I'm quitting. I'm done. Bye, Jason.
Jason, thanks for hanging out with us. We'll talk to you again soon.
Wow. Bye.
Yeah, there's a big dookie by my back window in the back of the house, and I'm still trying to figure out who did it.
Oh, I thought you'd be able to figure it out like that. Come on.
It's almost too big for Coyote.